to talk to us this morning for a few minutes about being raised with Christ. Now in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul said, "If then you were raised with Christ." Now what is it that he means by being raised with Christ? Well, it is clearly a reference to baptism. Just a few verses earlier, in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, Paul had said that they had been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. In Romans chapter 6, in the first few verses there, Paul talked about how they had been buried with him in baptism, how they had been raised to walk in a newness of life. And so we're talking about being raised from the watery graves of baptism. We're talking about now being new creatures or a new creation in Christ Jesus. Our old sins have been washed away through that act of obedience. Acts chapter 22 and in verse 16. And so now I am raised with Christ. What is it that I should do? Do I just go on and live the way I always lived? No. You see, once I was a sinner. And now I'm saved. And I need to live like someone who is saved rather than someone who is a sinner. And so now that I have been raised with Christ, exactly what is it that I do with myself? Well, the Apostle Paul gives us the answer here in Colossians chapter 3 in the first 11 verses. He tells us just what we are to do with ourselves now that we have been raised with Christ. Number one, he tells us what we ought to do with our mind, Look with me at Colossians 3 verses 1 and 2. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind, see that? Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And so we're told what to do with our mind. We are to set our minds on things above and not on things of the earth. Now the idea behind this Greek phrase of set your mind, it is a mindset. In other words, your entire being is focused upon this one thing. In this case, on those things which are above. That is, heavenly things. We are to set our mind there. You ever had your heart set on something? Have you ever heard somebody say about somebody else, boy, his heart is really set on this, or his heart is really set on that? We know what we mean by that, don't we? I remember when I was a young boy, my heart at one time was set on a really nice BB gun, of all things. You see, I had a BB gun, and one of those little things you cock one time and you shoot, and you could literally watch the BB float through the air. It wasn't much good. I probably could have thrown the BB and got better effects. But then a friend of mine down the road had this really nice new pump BB gun, and it would shoot BBs and it would shoot pellets. And you could pump it 3 times if you didn't want to shoot far, or you could pump it 10 times for more power. And oh, how I had my heart set on getting one of those things. That consumed me for the next few months of my life. I would mow yards. I would do extra chores around the house. Everything I could to make a dollar or two to save that money until finally I could buy me one of those BB/pellet guns that my friend had. I mean, my whole life was wrapped up into acquiring that thing, and I did everything I could to get it. Now, this is what Paul means when he talks about having our mind set on things above. Now, is your mind set on things above, or is your mind set on things on the earth? Maybe you think your mind and your heart is set above in a heavenly pursuit, but really, your service to the Lord is nothing more than a service of convenience. You see, your mind is really wrapped up, your heart is really set on that promotion at work, or your heart is really set on the ball team that your child plays for, or your heart is really set on this or that or the other, and all your energies are being put into the pursuit of those things. But then how much energy are you putting into the pursuit of heavenly things? Oh, you ought to set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. Your entire being, you see, you've died with Christ. Your life should be wrapped up in Christ. All you should think about is your passion for serving the Lord Jesus Christ. It's hard to get folks to do things in the church. Sometimes you have to really finagle and stay on them to finally get them to do something. Well, they ought to be looking for something to do. All of us, we ought to be wrapped up in that. I want to be a worker for the Lord. What can I do now? My mind is set on heavenly things. And my life is wrapped up in that pursuit. And so, when we're raised with Christ, we're told what to do with our mind. Number two, not only are we told what to do with our mind, but we're told what to do with our members. Now look at verse 5 of Colossians 3. Paul said, therefore put to death your members. See that? Which are on the earth. And so Paul tells us to put them to death. And the word for death there actually means dead. Make it completely dead. Not asleep. Not going into abeyance. Or just resting for a while. But he says, put these things to death. Well, what does he mean, put your members to death? Well, the next thing he says gives us a little bit of idea. He actually gives us a list. He says here, fornication, uncleanness, verse 5, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. These are the things we are to put to death. And the first thing on the list is fornication. Now in the Greek, the word is porneia. And we know what it means. It's the idea of having unlawful sex. Committing the sex act. You see, God instituted marriage. And he placed any sexual activity within that relationship only. In other words, only a man and a woman who are married to each other have the right to engage in the sex act and be right with God. All else is fornication. Hebrews 13 verse 4, the Bible says that marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but adulterers and fornicators God will judge. God hates fornication. I'm just here to tell you. Malachi 2:14, we're told that God hates divorce. And yet in Matthew 19:9, he gave only one justifiable cause for a man to put away his spouse. You know what it was? Fornication. Now, if God hates divorce, he hates divorce, but he gives one exception. Fornication. What does that say about how he feels about fornication? And then in the list, uncleanness. Anything that's filthy, spiritually speaking, anything that's dirty, anything that is lewd. It could be a picture. It could be some of the things some folks like to sit and look at on their computer screens on the internet, or some things folks like to look at on the TV, or it could be spoken. It could be a filthy joke or such like. It could be written, filthy novels. Uncleanness. Put them to death. And then passion and evil desire. Now that's really two sides of the same coin. We're talking about our passion or our pursuit for evil things. Do we have evil desires? Do you ever wish somebody was dead? Maybe not that bad. Maybe you just wish something bad would happen to them. Or maybe you have this desire to tell a lie. Or perhaps you have a desire to cheat on somebody or to do somebody wrong. Maybe you desire to cheat on your taxes. Maybe you have desired to steal something from the grocery store or some other store. Maybe you've desired to pirate music or videos. Evil desire. Put it to death. Covetousness. You know, it's interesting what Paul says about covetousness here. And the idea there is the love of money. He said it is idolatry. Do you think we have idolatry today? Oh, absolutely. Even right here in America. Because we have people, money is their God. The love of things and the things money can buy, that is their number one pursuit in life. And even those who are clean, those who are morally clean, those who claim to be children of God, they put God on the back burner because of their love and their pursuit for the almighty dollar bill. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7, Paul said, we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. What about covetousness? The love of money, Paul said, put these members to death and do not lie to one another. See that? Do not lie to one another. And so Paul tells us, you have been raised with Christ. Well, now what do I do? Well, we're told what to do with our mind. Set it on things above. We're told what to do with our members. Put them to death. And we're told in the third place what to do with our mouth. With our mouth. That's right. God is very concerned about the mouth. In fact, he says here in verse 7 of Colossians 3, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them, but now, verse 8, you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, filthy language out of your mouth. See that? And he also throws in there wrath, malice, blasphemy. You ever use your mouth to express any of these things? To express wrath? To express anger, unjustified anger, malice? What about blasphemy? You ever spoke disparagingly about somebody, gossiped about somebody, said things that were slanderous about somebody's character? You ever done that? What about filthy language? Paul says, put that out of your mouth. You ever used foul language? Sometimes folks will use foul language and they'll say, oh, pardon my French. My friend, that's not French. That's dirty American. That's filthy language. And God says to put it away from you. Don't practice filthy language. Put it out of your mouth. Don't entertain yourself with those who practice filthy language. On the TV, at the movie theater, with the songs that we listen to sometimes. Put that out of your life. Don't use filthy language. Don't tell filthy jokes. Don't listen to them, laugh at them, chuckle at them. Put it out of your life. And then verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. That's with the mouth too, right? Don't lie to one another. Tell the truth. Don't deceive one another. Be upfront, straightforward. In Ephesians 4:25, Paul said, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. If we have been raised with Christ, we are members of one another. I'm going to tell you, God hates lying. Remember those things the proverb writer listed? Those things that God hates? And in that list of six, yea, seven are an abomination to him, is a lying tongue. Don't be a liar. Oh, but preachers, sometimes I tell a little white lie. It's okay to tell a little white lie, isn't it? No, it's not. A white lie is a lie. And lying is wrong. And we're to put it away from us when we are raised with Christ. In Revelation 21 verse 8, John wrote, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, even the ones that tell the little white lies, shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. God hates lying. God abhors lying, and we lie with our mouth, don't we? Oh, it's so important, my dear friends, what we do with our mouth. I mean, we could lose our souls based simply upon something that we say. In Matthew 12:37, the Lord said, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. So the Apostle Paul says, if then you are raised with Christ, okay, what now? Well, we're told what to do with our mind. Set it on things above. We're told what to do with our members. Put those sinful deeds to death. And we're told what to do with our mouth. Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, and this message has been brought to you by the Southside Church of Christ in Smyrna, Tennessee. A new message airs each Sunday morning right here on WGNS from 10:45 to 11 a.m. You can listen to hundreds of my sermons at our website, defendthegospel.com. We'd like to invite you to worship with us at any or all of our services. You'd be an honored guest. We meet on Sundays at 9 and 10 a.m. and 6 p.m., as well as Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We meet at 1167 South Lowry Street. That's Murfreesboro Road in Smyrna, Tennessee. Thank you for listening, and have a wonderful day.